Yes, good afternoon. Very happy to be here with you. I only regret that I'm way up here on this high stage. Usually when we have our own gatherings, we're all seated mostly on the floor, on a Persian carpet, on pillows, and there's a feeling of the flow of energy. And I always feel that in speaking, it's very important to me to feel the resonance, to imbibe the quality of presence that is generated among all attuning hearts. And so, format does make a difference, but of course I understand the reason for the high stage, and that is so that people as far back as the back row can see, because this is really a very large gathering, isn't it? And that's something very notable and wonderful, that so many people should feel called and inspired to come together in this way for contemplation and remembrance beyond all differences of ethnicity, religion, or culture. That there is an open invitation to enter together into contemplation of the one being whose life is at the center of the lives of all of us. Now, this afternoon, I would like to speak on the subject of breath. The art of breath, and after some discussion, I hope that we'll have the opportunity to practice some methods of awareness of breath together. A Sufi was once asked, what is the meaning of the word Sufi? Who is a Sufi? And the answer that he gave was, the Sufi is Sahib al-Anfas, which means the possessor of breaths. One could also translate this phrase as one who breathes well. Now, we are not raised to recognize breath as an art form. We are not raised to differentiate breathing well from not breathing well. That is a science, an art, that is indeed found in many indigenous cultures, traditional cultures. When I visit India, for instance, sometimes I walk through parks and see whole gatherings of school children practicing pranayama in the park. It is taught from an early age. And it contributes a dimension of experience to life that is otherwise difficult to access. Perhaps not impossible to access, but difficult. Breath is a natural channel for awareness. There's another Sufi saying that says, there are as many paths to God as there are breaths, which really tells us that each breath is a path to God. Each breath is an opportunity for deepened awareness, for contact with the source. And contrary-wise, not breathing well has its own implications, consequences that probably all of us suffer every day. Turmoil, emotional turmoil, is all too often the result of agitation in the breath. And that is why the teacher of my grandfather, his name was Sayyid Abu Hashim Madani, he once said something to my grandfather that deeply entered his heart. He said, in this way, in this tariqah, there is only one sin and one virtue. The virtue is the breath that is breathed with awareness of the unity of being. And the sin is the breath that is allowed to escape in negligence of that unity. All morality springs from the integrity of the living breath. All of our misspoken words, all of our missing the mark, our shortcomings. There's a prayer in which we call upon God as the forgiver of our shortcomings, and I say these prayers with my two little children every day, and sometimes they mispronounce it. One of them always says, forgiver of our shortcuts. Our shortcomings, better really understood as shortcuts, are the consequence of a foreshortening of the breath. Constriction, distortion in the natural ebb and flow of the breath. And this is illustrated in a great old Sufi story which tells of a noble, chivalric warrior who was engaged in a defensive battle in among the sand dunes of Arabia. And he had subdued his enemy and was about to deal the final blow. And just at that moment, the enemy, whose army had started that aggressive conflict, the enemy spat in his face. And this noble warrior, his face flushed, his hand quivered, but rather than dealing the blow, he sheathed his sword and turned and walked away. So you can imagine how absolutely perplexed must have been this warrior, prone on the ground, who only wanted to add a final insult before giving up the ghost, and then finding that he was spared inexplicably after giving that insult, chased after the warrior and asked him, why did you spare me? And he answered, I was going to take your life, but you aroused my anger, and I am sworn never to act from that place. His breath had become disturbed, and so his action no longer had integrity. That is how we can understand this lesson, that there is only one sin and only one virtue. All that springs from the natural ebb and flow of attuned presence to the One will serve virtue. And all that comes from a place of agitation, distortion and constriction of the breath will have another result. So this is a wonderful lesson for us all to remember each and every day, that when we find ourselves falling out of rhythm and out of balance, we need to restore the balance before acting. Take a hiatus and return to the breath and breathe with awareness. Bring presence. Become centered. And this method of working with the breath has been a central part of the heritage of Sufism all over the centuries. And in fact, it has been a common language through which Sufism has communicated with other traditions as well, because every great spiritual tradition has its science of breath, and ultimately these sciences are one science. Through working with the breath, one develops magnetism, health, one attracts the dynamic, life-giving influences that surround us. One assimilates them and absorbs them. And through breath, one releases, one processes, filters out, and releases all that is superfluous to one's need. And so one finds that breath serves as the medium through which self is equilibrated with environment, between the body and the environment is a boundary, but it's not an absolute boundary. And that boundary is constantly crossed and recrossed by the currents of the breath. And so each breath becomes an opportunity for us to resonate with, attune to, and participate in the vital currents of the sacred world around us. One finds that the breath has its degrees of vibration, its qualities, and each of these qualities relate to a gradation of manifestation. Manifestation is a continuum. That unites two poles of being. The transcendent pole and the immanent pole. The pole of extreme immanence represents the density of embodiment of the hard edges and boundaries and structures of our physical world. It corresponds to our identity as separate egos. That is one realm of experience. And far off in the opposite direction is the pole of transcendence, the infinite and eternal, the unmanifest. And between these poles are gradations of being, whereby the infinite and eternal essence manifests itself, discloses itself progressively through the spheres of being in increasingly dense, increasingly configured modes of expression. And it is possible to experience the continuum of this opposition, this dynamic tension that is built into reality itself through the breath. The breath takes us back from the outer world into the depths of the inner, and through the breath we return from the innermost pole into the outer world. And in describing these degrees of breath, the Sufis have had recourse oftentimes to refer to the elements of earth, water, fire, and air. The elements were first disclosed as a spiritual teaching by the great pre-Socratic sage Empedocles. And it was from the transmission of the sacred law of Greece that Sufism absorbed this teaching. And when the Sufis of Persia and Central Asia entered the Indian subcontinent, they brought with them the law of the elements and found that their counterparts in India were the yogis, and that the yogis themselves had a science of the elements, a science of breath and the science of the elements. And the Sufis and the yogis used to meet frequently and compare their perspectives and techniques. And so the transmission evolved and articulated itself. The work with the elements on the breath is work passing through the stages of refinement of the breath from the most dense, you might say gross, vibrations of breath, which are the ones that are most readily familiar to us often, to more and more subtle gradations, ultimately taking us to the most refined sensation of abstract, pure, spiritual expansiveness and tranquility, and the sense of cosmic immensity. And then returning through the breath, one descends once more through the planes and, so to speak, reincarnates into the body of flesh and blood, carrying with one the memory and the awareness of the most fine and delicate shades of experience. So the elements are not separate substances. The elements are mythic, symbolic representations of the gradations of sensual experience, which lead us ultimately beyond the senses. And we will have an opportunity, God willing, in a moment to explore this experientially and directly. And so working with the breath avails us of the regenerative powers of the cosmos that surround us and pervade us. It mitigates the absoluteness of the boundary that we maintain between ourselves and the environment, and we become conscious of a continuous flow. We become conscious of the existence of the elements within our body and even within our heart. And ultimately, this leads us to an appreciation of breath as a mode of participation in the divine breath. Ultimately, breath becomes a mode of awareness of God's own respiration. What is respiration? Contraction and expansion, ebb and flow. The whole of reality is ebbing and flowing. And the deepening awareness of our breath will attune us to this larger process of creation and absorption, which is perpetual, the oscillation of the universe between being and non-being. The outflow and inflow of the breath contains a current, and within this current are memories, ancient memories, memories of the womb state, memories of the oceanic state that gave birth to the galaxies, and memories even of the outflow of the divine breath in the primordial moment, which is not a moment in the distant past, but which is a recurring moment, a moment at the very essence of the present. How can we speak of God's breath? The Sufis refer to the cosmogonic act, the act of creation, and turn to divinely inspired words that say, I was a hidden treasure, and I loved, I yearned to be known, and so I created the world that I might be known. God speaking. A hidden treasure. All of the beauty and majesty and wealth of experience that we touch and hear and savor, perceive with our eyes. The sunset over the ocean last night existed in this eternal state, and a billion such sunsets, but with no one to witness, no one to see. It was lost in isolation, in solitude. And so out of that solitude came a yearning for expression, for witnessing, for release. What does this have to do with the breath? You will have the answer to that question if you hold your breath. To hold your breath is to enter a kind of timelessness where the rhythm of the breath is discontinued, the clock stops ticking, and one has something of the sense of the eternal. But that state can only last for so long. And then another sensation arises. That sensation is a sensation of congestion. One must exhale. One has to breathe out. And that out-breath is an ecstatic release. It is that all that was pent up is liberated. And according to the Sufis, this means that the divine names, the qualities of being, all of the conditions, the attributes, the qualities that we taste and touch and see and savor in our lives, all of these qualities, the quality of justice, the quality of forgiveness, all of these potentialities were deep within the divine and needed to be released, exhaled as a sigh. And that sigh is called the Nafas ar-Rahman, the sigh of creative compassion. It is compassionate to the names themselves, that the names should be brought forth into manifestation, into experience. It is the ultimate compassion. It is the ultimate kindness. It is kindness to the absolute to be freed from seclusion and to drench non-being with the splendor the supernal splendor that was bottled up in eternity. This is the divine outbreath. But then the divine being becomes lost in the process of fragmentation, of splitting off, in all of the phantasmagoria of the shapes and sounds and sights. And there is an equal need, an equally urgent need, for the in-breath that draws us back out of the divine overflow into manifestation, back to the source, back to the wellspring, back to the essence. And our own cycle of breath, our own inhalation and exhalation, has been providentially bestowed upon us. It is said that we are created upon the divine image, and the cycle of our breath reproduces the whole cosmogonic cycle of the divine, and through awakening that cycle within ourselves, we participate directly in the life of the whole. And through breath, we practice presence. Through breath, we become self-aware. But it is a very special kind of self-awareness. It is not the self-awareness of anxious self-consciousness, second-guessing and speculating and judging ourselves. It is a completely different kind of self-awareness. It is a self-awareness that is natural, that ebbs and flows, that isn't forced, it isn't manipulated, but it deepens with the deepening of the perception of what the Sufis call anaiya, I-ness. And that is very different from any definition of the ego. The ego is always changing its self-perceptions. We go through life wearing many, many masks, you might say, projecting many different types of identity, and God willing, evolving, maturing, growing. We're developing as human beings. But there is another element of self-consciousness which is very different. It never changes. It never has changed. It never will change. It never could change. That is anaiya. That is the simple, sheer act of pure self-awareness. The simple act of witnessing one's witnessing. And the light of the soul is only this. The substance of the light of the soul is its own luminous self-knowledge. Its body is its awareness of itself. Its awareness of itself is its body. It is a pure, simple, sheer light, absolutely changeless. And that light is nothing more or less than a ray of the infinite and eternal light. So having offered these considerations now, I would like to invite us to participate directly, experientially, in a practice of breath. And so firstly, I will ask you to seat yourself in such a way that your back is truly straight, which means avoiding leaning back against the chair. All too often we are hunched over and crunched, and the result of that, of course, if one's back is not straight, then there is congestion, the rib cage is contracted, the lungs do not expand sufficiently, the work of the heart in its pulsation is constrained. And so a very important first priority is to attend to the position of the body. In many of our prayers, we begin, when we have a ritual of prayer with movement, we begin with this movement, like this. And you can see what effect that has physiologically. If you would, as a daily ritual, make this movement, how does it affect how you feel? We go through life more and more weighed down each day by the burden of all of the cares and distractions and anxieties that become a real heavy load on the back, become more and more burdened. But this movement has the effect of lifting that burden back, dropping it down. And what is the result? The chest opens and expands. The heart begins to warm, to move, to expand. So there's a direct relationship between releasing the load from the back and the opening of the heart. There's even a surah of the Quran called the Surah of the Opening, which describes how the heart of the Prophet was purified. And in the words of the surah, it is said, "Have we not lifted the burden from your back and expanded your heart?" The two go together. So letting all of the burden fall back and down, letting the chest expand, letting the spine rise up straight like a Jacob's ladder, uniting earth and heaven. Feel one's head floating above. Feel the soles of one's feet planted firmly on the ground. Feeling your buttocks on the seat or on the ground. And the point of contact is where you experience the gravity that is the physical expression of the divine love operating through the earth. Gravity is ishq. Gravity is the divine love meeting your body in the soles of the feet, at the base of the spine. And with the eyes closed, begin to observe the inflow and outflow of the breath. We have been breathing continuously all day long, and yet perhaps until this moment we were not aware of this act that is a most essential act. Observe the air tickle the nostrils as it surges up into the nasal passages and then turns down, descending the trachea into the lungs. Causing the lungs to expand. The air then filters through the alveoli, the perforations in the lining of the lungs, and enters the bloodstream. And so each inhalation moves in waves on the currents of the blood, surging through the body in all five directions, down the legs, down the arms, up the neck and into the head. The breath flows and penetrates every cell of the body, right down into the tips of the toes. And every cell is thirsting for each new dispensation of oxygen. Every cell drinks deeply of the breath and is refreshed and restored and regenerated. And likewise, each cell of the body releases its burden of carbon dioxide, which, passing into the bloodstream, returns to the lungs and flows out with the exhalation. And in this there is the relief of release, of letting go of all that cannot be assimilated, all that is superfluous and burdensome. And as one exhales, the ripple of one's breath radiates out into space. So that your very sense of identity expands the boundary of one's being, widens and dissipates, merges into the currents of the air, the emanations of all breathing beings. And we know that it is in the intermingling of these currents that Gaia, the sum total of breathing beings upon the earth, maintains a natural equilibrium. Through the process of interbreathing. Emanating a bubble of life-giving aerial substance. That englobes the earth. And so each exhalation unites us with the life transactions of the algae in the sea, the rainforests, each and every plant and animal. And likewise, as we inhale, we are the beneficiary of the abundance of the planetary life, and indeed of the deeper and finer currents of the all-pervading life in space. That continuously cascades through all structures, forms, saturating us with frequencies of emanation, originating in the very center, the very core of reality itself, the Sun of Suns. So as one exhales, one feels oneself flowing into, dissipating within the oceanic ebb and flow of a billion waves, all surging forth from the very fountainhead of reality. And as one inhales, this tremendous mystery enters one as a baptism through the breath and penetrates every cell of the body. And let us be conscious of this body. At levels of awareness that are mostly forgotten, recognizing the inner rhythms. As we inhale, observe the chest expand, the belly expand, and then the chest expand still more. And as you exhale, the chest contracts, the belly contracts, the chest contracts still more. Breathing in through the nose and breathing out through the nose. Discern within your sense field the density of the body, the hardness of the skeletal system, the erectness of the spine. The inheritance of stone, the solidity of the mountains present within oneself, spirit discovering itself, calcified, hardened spirit. Witnessing spirit in bone. The weight of your limbs, the musculature, flesh, uniting one with the earth, the rock and soil. One's body is a formation of earth, molded and shaped out of the matter and substance of the earth. Spirit will not always experience this degree of density. And so here and now, in this incarnate condition, in this body, before we leave the world, what does it mean to be fully conscious, fully aware, the quality of being materialized, fully materialized, cast in stone? Now let the breath shift. Inhale through the nose, but exhale through the mouth. Breath becomes more refined. The sense of density gives way to a sense of fluidity. The experience of the water element. Beneath the surface of the skin, we are ...75% or more water in a state of continuous ebb and flow. Can hear the sound of the waves, and the same waves flow in the vessels of the body. The same tide of contraction and expansion, the same incessant rhythm, the same rhythm that brings back memories of life in the womb, floating in the amniotic fluid, immersed in the pulse of the mother's heart. And let the breath shift again. Now inhaling through the mouth, exhaling through the nose. Be conscious of the igneous element of one's body, the heat, the burning of calories that produces waves of heat that ripple out into the environment. If we could see in the frequency of infrared, we would see a room not of contoured human shapes, but rather we would see living flames. And to contemplate this flame is to enliven it, intensify it, burning the body, burning away all redundancy and excess and all that distracts and limits, and revealing the pure, brilliant light of the truth. as it is said in the sacred tradition. Al-ishq an-nar idha waqa'a fil qulub ahraqa ma siwa al-mahbub. Love is a fire that when it befalls the heart burns away all but the beloved. And let the breath shift once more. Inhaling now through the mouth and exhaling through the mouth. Attuning to the element of the air. The body feels increasingly diffuse, just as the body would appear if viewed through the lens of an electron microscope. All sense of rigid form is superseded by the recognition of dynamic patterns, not structure but choreography, energetic charges revolving, dancing in emptiness. Like the movements of the clouds in the sky, swirling and in their movements revealing an infinite variety of possibilities. There's a sense of spaciousness and freedom. Now once more return to breathing in and out through the nose. Sensing your state, sensing the condition of the body, sensing the condition of the mind, the heart. And perhaps one finds that one has discovered an aspect of breath which is not identical with the process of the exchange of oxygen for carbon dioxide. That is one process, that is one degree of breath, but at a finer level, at a deeper level, breath constitutes the convergence and expansion, the ebb and flow of the life field itself, which is the template of one's physical body. This life field is not inert. It is dynamic. Fluid, rhythmic, and it partakes of the larger ecology of being that surrounds it, pervades it. Its activity is the inner dimension of breath. And as you breathe in this awareness now, direct your attention to the heart, the cardiac plexus in the left breast. Direct the awareness of the breath into the heart. Opening the chest, exposing this most tender, most delicate and sensitive of organs, which we typically keep under the protection of layer upon layer of armoring. But in this moment of openness and awareness, trust, we may allow the armoring to be dismantled and to expose to view, expose to our own direct, immediate experience this most delicate organ of sensation that is, truly speaking, the sum and epitome of all sensation. And so with each inhalation, one penetrates deeper into the heart, layer by layer. Accepting the sensitivity, ticklishness, rawness, tenderness, even outright pain. Because this pain is what we really need. And it is in denying the pain that we have produced something worse than pain, and that is suffering. Suffering is resentful, suffering is bitter. Suffering is weak and weary. Pain is immediate, pain is acute, pain is touching upon the nerve of direct contact with reality. Avoidance of it produces suffering. Entering into it produces the possibility of real joy. An emotion beyond what is favorable and beyond what is unfavorable. Direct sensing with immediacy in the body, in the soul, here and now, of the divine discovery in self-manifestation. With each inhalation, one plunges deeper and deeper into the tissue of the heart, into the inner cockles. And with each exhalation, there is more and more expansion, softening, warming. The heart melts, liquefies, and its wine seeps out and saturates the whole of the chest. And one feels the beat of the heart not an imagined heartbeat, but the very pulse of the heart itself. Can you feel it right now within you, pounding, beating, sending out waves? Waves of wine washing over the body. Can you feel the aching heart stirring, awakening, resonating, and calling out to every cell in the body? Can you feel the echo, the reverberation of the heart in the ankles, in the wrists, in the loins, under the knees, within the elbows and in the neck and in the temples, in all of the extremities. The echo of the heart's pulse, beating. The whole body comes alive, throbbing and pulsing, ebbing and flowing. Or is it not that there is a rippling out, a fading and merging into the atmosphere where there is no definite demarcation? Almost as though one feels the flesh of one's hands evaporating into the air. The heart's beat, the heart's magnetism, the heart's life seems to have no end. It seems to ripple out, to vibrate, to dissipate into the cosmos. And with the inhalation, one becomes conscious of how the whole cosmos encapsulates itself, pours itself into the heart. You hear me now because as I speak, I fashion syllables out of breath, syllables that travel on the currents of the breath, upon the air, reaching the eardrum. Breath is the medium of our communication. Each of us receives in every moment a pure dispensation of breath from the source. And that which we say, our speech, is among our most profound responsibilities. We are given the breath. How do we mold the breath? How do we shape it? What is our message? What do we say with this breath? We are imprinting a message. We are carving a signature upon the tablet of nature, upon the body of manifest reality. Can there be any greater privilege and responsibility than to sound our breath? What is our message? In the Sufi path, many, many forms of zikr are taught, and zikr is practiced as a purification of speech, a purification of breath, bringing us back to the primal sounds, bringing us back to the divine name. And among all of these zikrs, one zikr takes us back to the simplest evocations of sound. The letter that is made before any other sounds are configured in speech is the sound of the breath rising up from within, the letter H. And this is why when the Sufis call upon God, although all divine names are God's names, the name Allah is so deeply cherished. Allah, Aleph Lam Lam Ha. Aleph Lam, the, Al, the. Two lams, it is intensified. The only what? The only Ha. The H, the sound of the breath. Allah is the breath of all breaths. And so an essential zikr, the zikr with which we will culminate our moment of practice together here now, articulates the three vowelizations of the primordial H of the breath. First to the right, then to the left, then to the middle.